everybody's had that, and it's special up here. We could probably just close and have a prayer, right? You're done. Probably some of you are saying, yes. Well, I want to continue on. I want to give you, Mom, something this morning to start out with and kind of go over some principles that you can take into motherhood that might help or might help you understand. And so let's start with those. Number one, to be in your children's memories tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. That's a serious one. That's a good one. Number two, the smartest advice on raising children is to enjoy them while they are still on your side. Number three, raising a teenager is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. Sound familiar? Number four, life's golden age is when the kids are too old to need a babysitter and too young to borrow the family car. I like that one. That's perfect right there. Number five, there are three ways to get something done. Do it yourself, hire someone to do it, or forbid your children to do it, and then they'll want to do it. Number six, cleaning your house while your kids are at home is like trying to shovel the driveway during a snowstorm. Number seven, money isn't everything, but it sure keeps the kids in touch. Number eight, adolescence is the age at which children stop asking questions because they know all the answers. And number nine, an alarm clock is a device for awakening people who don't have small children. And finally, number 10, kids really brighten up a household. They never turn off any lights. Does that sound familiar to some of you? Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much this day for the fact that we can come together to celebrate moms, to just be, we're so thankful, Father, for all the moms and all the women of influence that are in this room this morning. And we just pray that your word will encourage them. And we pray that you will continue to give them wisdom and guidance and strength as they continue on in this also important role. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day is one of those days that's full of emotion, right? For a lot of women, it's a good day, and they really love this day, this special day. And for other women, it's a difficult day because of difficult situations in your life. Maybe you've always wanted to be a mom, and it just hasn't ever happened for you. So this is kind of a sad day, maybe. Maybe you've had children that have already passed on, and so it makes today a real hard day. Maybe your mother has passed on, and it also makes it a hard day because of that. So this day, even though we would like to be able to just everybody have a smile on your face and just be able to celebrate this day together, for some folks, this is a tough day. And so I come this morning to talk to you about Mother's Day. And, of course, there's plenty of ways you could go with this. We could talk about some of the mothers in the Bible, like Ruth, Mary. We could go to Proverbs 31 and look at the characteristics of a noble woman, and we could preach on that. And then you may leave here feeling, well, I don't know if I could ever live up to that. I don't know if I can be like that. So now I've taken something that's already tough for some of you and made it even tougher. So I've decided not to do any of those things. I hope today is just an easy day, a day in which we can encourage you, give you a little bit of challenge, but mostly just try to encourage your moms. And leave the rest of it up to yourselves. If you want to study that and you want to learn more about how to be a woman of character and a noble woman, then go to Proverbs 31. Take a look at that chapter. It really is a good teaching. Or if you just want to study a woman and an example in the Bible, go to the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters. You could read it in a short time. And just take a look at Ruth and some of the ways that she lived her life. Or maybe even take a look at Mary. And I know that's a tough one to follow, the mother of Jesus. But you can look at Mary and some of the ways in which she influenced her son, even though he was God in human form. One great example of Mary is that when she went to the wedding at Cana with Jesus, which is his first recorded miracle. And so she played a huge part in kind of nudging him to perform this miracle because he didn't really want to do it right then. She kind of nudged him forward. You see, they're at a wedding, and at the wedding, they had the early part of the wedding, they had run out of wine. That's a bad place to be, isn't it? At a wedding, they're... Why are you laughing, Julie? Well, they ran out of wine, so Jesus' mom, she kind of nudged him and said, hey, you can take care of this. Why don't you take that water and turn it into wine? And so he's like, he really gets upset with her. because he didn't really want to be pushed into doing something that he wasn't ready to do or it wasn't time yet. But his mom kind of nudged him some more, and she looked at the servants and she said, hey, whatever he tells you to do, you do it, and everything will be taken care of. So she kind of just pushed him out there, and so the story goes on, and Jesus did turn the water into wine, some great wine, and they continued on with the wedding reception. So there's a good story of a mother who's continually nudging and urging their children and helping them to move on in life or maybe move out in life and whatever it takes, but to do what God sent them to do. So there's plenty of opportunity for you ladies to do that if you choose to do so this morning. But I want to kind of go in a different direction. I want to just leave you with a couple of points this morning, not three. So if you're anal about the three-point sermon deal, sorry, I'm going to disappoint you. We're going to go with 2 points today. There's two things that I want you to look at, and both of them are just encouraging things that I think every woman in this place can do, and that is to love and to pray. You think we can all do that? I think that's a pretty easy thing at times, maybe not always faithful about doing it as regularly as we want, but I think we can all do that and carry that out. And this works for both moms of children, and this works for mothers who have mothers, and our smaller children who have mothers. Any of those people all fall into this category. You can love and you can pray. And that's what I'm going to challenge you with this morning. So we're talking this morning, obviously, to moms, but I don't want to stop there. Like Pastor Jeff mentioned earlier in his prayer, it's more than just moms we're talking to today. That's another angle of this whole Mother's Day thing. It's moms, it's grandmothers, maybe great-grandmothers. It could be an aunt. It could be a foster mom. It could be a mom who's adopted. It could be a friend or someone who has helped take care or raise a child and just been there for them. I call this last category women of influence. And you're going to hear me mention that a couple times this morning because I think this is crucial. And I guess you could say that is kind of the coverall for everyone else. Because I think even if God has not blessed you with a child, or even if you don't desire to have a child, and so that doesn't come into play here, but you have a mom, but she may not be alive, and so she may have already passed, and you don't have that opportunity anymore. But I think all women have an opportunity to be a woman of influence. They have an opportunity to talk to and to help and direct children that are placed in their path, whether it's in a Sunday school class, whether it's in your job, whether it's around your neighborhood, somewhere, or a friend's children who kind of looks up to you. You have opportunities to be influential person in their life. And I think that's important to understand. You know, I'm sure most of us at one time or another in our life, especially as younger, maybe teenagers, where you hung out at a friend's house and you were there all the time and they wanted to be able to claim you on their taxes, you were there so much. But what did you say? You said that she was like my mom, like a mom to me. Has anybody ever said that? I think most of us have at some point. This person was influential in our life. They weren't our mother, they weren't our grandmother, they weren't our aunt or any other relative, but they played a huge part in our development. And so all of the women that are here this morning, most of us have an opportunity, most of you have the opportunity to fit into some or one of those categories. And so I encourage you to be women who pray and who love those children. We're going to look at this word love, because this word love is used today all the time, very flippantly at times. Pastor Jeff spoke about this a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I believe. We talked about love and the different kinds of love. Remember that? There's love for, you know, my friend, and then there's love for my wife, and there's just different kinds. And the love that we're going to look at today comes to us in 1 Corinthians 13. And most of you have heard this passage. It's used all the time at weddings and special occasions. And anytime we're talking about agape love, love that Christ has for us, the love you have for your spouse, the love you have for your children. This is the kind of love it is. And so I want us to just look at this passage. This is the only passage we're looking at this morning, because I think it does describe what agape love looks like and what the kind of love that I'm encouraging you to have for your children, for your mother, and for those people that you are influencing in your life. So this is the kind of love that God would want you to have. It's a love that is patient, a love that is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have for our children, for those that we love the dearest. That's not the kind of love that we kind of bounce around sometimes when we just say, we love you, we love you, we love you, but it's more of that love as a friend. But this is a love that goes a lot deeper than that. And that's the kind of love I would encourage all of you to have for your children, and if you're lucky enough, to have for your mom. And that's the kind of love I encourage you to do. It's a love that never fails. And that's what we can count on. You see, if we live our life this way, and if we love our children this way, and we love our mothers this way, and we're not proud, and we're not arrogant, and we're not loving when things go bad, but we're looking for things to go God's way, when we're that kind of person, then life will be joyous. That will bring joy to your life. It will bring joy to their life, because it's the kind of love that God would want you to have. It is pure agape love. The same love that Jesus Christ had for us that led him to the cross and sacrificed his life. It's a love that when you think more of others than you do yourself, a love that puts others first. And you know, as a mom, just watching mothers, you see it all the time. You see moms that are putting their kids way ahead of themselves. Sure, there's things you'd like to do, there's places you'd like to go, there's activities you'd like to be involved in, but maybe you can't. Because right now, you're kind of so involved with your kids that you can't do that, but you're putting them before your own needs. And that is huge, and that is great that you're willing to do that. And that's the kind of love that God wants you to have. I want to read to you an interesting story. It's called When God Created Mothers. When the good Lord created mothers, he was in the sixth day of overtime. And when an angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And the Lord replied, "Have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair. And 6 pair of hands." And the angel shook her head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me the problem," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pair of eyes that mothers have to have. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows the answer. Another in the back of her head that she sees what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know. And of course, ones in the front that look at a child when he goofs up and says, 'I understand and I love you.' Without so much as uttering a word, I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under the shower. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her fingers across the cheek of this new-made mother. 'There's a leak,' she pronounced. 'I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model.' 'That's not a leak,' said the Lord. 'It's a tear.' 'What is it for?' asked the angel. The Lord replied, 'It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride.' 'You're a genius,' shouted the angel. With a sober look on his face, the Lord said, 'I didn't put it there. How about a Hannah for the crowning jewel of God's creation, our moms?'" We appreciate our mothers this morning. Let's have a round of applause for our moms. Well, besides being a mom who loves your kids, and besides being a mom who loves their mom, we also have an opportunity to pray for them. And I think that's the second point I want to make today. Because I think that's something that you can do forever. You can do every day and all the time. Hopefully you do that now. You have moms that are praying for their children. You have moms who are praying for their moms. And you have children who pray for their moms. We need to be, or you need to be women of prayer. We need to be men of prayer too. So, but you need to be women of prayer. And I looked at an example of this. I read an article about Billy Graham's mom. Most of you, I'm sure, know Billy Graham. Billy Graham has led nearly 3 million people to Christ and has preached the gospel to more than 80 million people during his lifetime. Recently, I was reading of an article that said Billy Graham's mother had the greatest influence on his life. She gathered the family to read the Bible and to pray together. She and his dad would pray for Billy each morning, and his mother's prayers marked his life and helped mold his faith. You know, our world needs more God-filled, history-making moms. The truth is, as a praying mom, when we counted what we counted on to pray for our children, we have the potential to change the course of history for God's glory. Oh, how I want you to be a praying mom. I'm sure Billy Graham's mom and dad, when he was little, couldn't even fathom the effect that God was going to have on this world through their son, Billy Graham. But it was through their prayers every day for him that he continued on, and still today is still able to preach Jesus Christ. And in his latter days, he still loves the Lord. And those prayers have helped him get through his life. And I think we all need to learn from that. Moms, again, need to be praying moms. Sometimes, though, we pray for the wrong things. We can find ourselves praying for things that are more earthly. Nothing bad. It just may not be the most important thing to pray for your kids for. We have people that pray for their kids to reach plateaus here on this earth. And as Christian moms, you need to be praying for your children to know God, to accept Him as their Lord and Savior, and to be disciples like we talked about last week. That's the kind of prayers you want to have for your children. You want them to grow up to be disciples and then to be able to make disciples. Because of that, they will make a difference like Billy Graham in the whole world. And they can influence the world. They may not reach as many people as Billy Graham did. They may not speak like Billy Graham spoke. But in their own way, you'll raise them and pray that they will be raised to be God-fearing adults, people who will continue to make their children disciples, and so forth and so on throughout the generations. So I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to be those kind of moms. You know, this morning we're going to help you with that, and if when you leave this morning, you're going to have a gift that the kids are going to bring into you in just a few minutes. And when you walk out those doors, somebody's going to be out there to hand you another gift. And it's the 31 virtues to pray for your children. It'll help you to understand some of the most important things in life that we should be praying for our kids. And so hopefully, there's 31 of those. You need to take a look at those. There are scriptures to go with them. Study those. You can see how important it is for you to be praying for the big stuff for your kids. Doesn't mean you can't pray for the other things too, but don't forget the big things in life. So, we understand that we have a responsibility to love our children, and we have a responsibility to pray for them. And even grown children that are here today, that if you're lucky enough to still have your mom, you need to continue to pray for her. Continue to lift her in prayer. You need to teach your children how to pray for your needs, because most likely you have some. We all do. We really thank mom for protection. Thank God for mom's protection in your life. Even when we're older, you know, our moms still look out for us. We may think we're grown-up adults, but our moms still care. And they're still looking out for us. They still have our back. And so it's important to pray for them. Moms, your kids are not going to be perfect. Is that a surprise? That's a shocker. Our kids are not perfect. But you know what? That's okay. The kids aren't perfect. We're not perfect. Adults aren't perfect. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. And so we can't beat ourselves up over the fact that maybe your kids aren't perfect kids. If that's the standard, well, then we're all in trouble. So don't be so hard on yourself. Pray for them, encourage them to be the best they can be, all they can be, but understand that they're not going to be perfect. I found a story that Becky Wood gave me this week that kind of talks a little bit about that, about a mom who's coming to the realization that her kids aren't perfect. And I want to share it with you. This lady says, I stood at the vending machine infuriated, more than annoyed, more than mad, more than angry, but infuriated. A girl can sometimes have responses out of proportion to the wrong that they are experiencing. And I like a compass pointing to truth north. This infuriation pointed somewhere that I didn't or didn't want to explore. I wanted a Diet Coke, so I did what was required. I followed the rules. I put the required money in. I pushed the right button. Only what I got wasn't what I wanted. Something had gone wrong. I clenched my fist and bit my lip, and I knew that my out-of-proportion response wasn't really about soda, after all. It was about being disillusioned by one of my teens. It was about my feeling that if you did all the right things, that you would get all the right results. You would do what is expected, and you would get what is expected. Put in the money, push the button, get the Diet Coke. Put in all the time, love, daddy-daughter date nights, intentionality, prayer, discipline, Bible lessons, Sunday at church, dinners at the table, talks at bedtime, kisses, hugs, and chores. Push the button, get the child that walks the straight and narrow. But sometimes you get the unexpected. And you know what I attempted to do as a mom? Draw a straight line from my child's wrong choices to my weaknesses and mothering. That will just about kill a mama. Crack her heart open and fill it with paralyzing regret of the past and fear for the future. And that's exactly where Satan wants mama to stay. But what if that's the wrong line? What if I'm supposed to draw a straight line from my child's wrong choice to my strength in mothering? What if God said, what mama is strong enough, preserving enough, tough enough to bend without breaking under the weight of the choices this child will make? What mama is willing to be humble to the point of humiliation, yet not blinded to the wisdom found like a diamond in dirty places? What mama will not just pray about this child, but will truly pray that this child all the way through their tough stuff? What mama will be courageous enough to let me write her child's story? Then God points. I can't say I ever wanted God to be pointing in my direction. I can't. But sometimes we get the unexpected. And I guess I'm just wanting to breathe hope into someone else's paralyzed place. Mama, you are strong, preserving, tough, able to bend without breaking, willing to be humbled to the point of humiliation, not blinded, a hunter for wisdom, a praying through mom, a courageous mama, one that wants your child to not just follow the rules, but more. You want them to find a deep dependence to follow after God himself. Let me reach through these pixelated letters and take your hand and stand with you from that cracked open heart place that God breathed strength will rise and help you spit in Satan's face as you declare, you picked the wrong mama to mess with this time. And by golly, if you see a mama like this, hand that woman a real Diet Coke, as she probably needs a little liquid heaven right about now. I'm sure that a lot of moms get discouraged. I'm sure a lot of moms are struggling, even maybe today. Sometimes life just doesn't go the way we think it should go, and it makes life difficult. There's no question that God is there. God, you don't have to raise perfect children, because if you did, we'd all be in trouble, because none of us are perfect. But you do have to love and pray for your children. Be there for them, pray for them as they go through those tough times in life. And yes, you might get something unexpected along the way, but God is still there. So whether you're a mom or a grandma or an aunt, or maybe you're a woman of influence, Today, God is calling you to be strong, to stand up to what the world is trying to dish out, to be a mom who says no to the pressures of this world and yes to the direction God has for your life and for the life of the one that you're influencing. And in closing this morning, I just want to take an opportunity because I want to share from my heart with you. I've truly been blessed. My mother passed away 4 years ago, but I had a great mom. A mom who did love me and a mom who prayed for me regularly. She was there. She had my back. She was always there to support me and encourage me and to let me know when I wasn't going in the right direction as well. But I've also been blessed with more than just a mom. I've been blessed with a mother-in-law that has raised her children that same way and who has blessed me by being that way for me. Has been a mom in some ways that my own mom couldn't even be because she's here and close. And so I'm grateful for her. I'm grateful for a sister who is a mom and has been a mom to her children. And she has been a daughter that has took care of her mom through some really tough times and has had a hard way to go because of it. She has done a great job of being both a mother and a daughter. But more than all that, I've been lucky enough to have a wife who's been a great mom to my children, who has been there for my kids and has done all the things as a mom that I couldn't do or that I wouldn't do, put it that way. But she was there, and she's still there, and she's still there for them now, and hopefully she'll be there forever for them. But she's also been that way for her grandchildren, and I couldn't ask for a better grandmother than my wife. And I'm so thrilled to have her in my life, and like I said, all these women of influence in my life. They have made a difference in me, and they have been a huge part of anything that I've been able to do. And so I am very thankful for them. I've just been blessed. So, women of influence, moms, grandmothers, aunts, friends, whatever you may be here today, foster mothers, mothers of adopted children, realize what a gift you are. You are a special gift. And we just thank you so much for being that kind of a gift. We realize, and we want you to realize, that the gift that you have of being a mom or being a daughter, it's a great gift, and we just encourage you to continue on with that gift, continuing in that world of prayer and love for those people that are so dear to you. Love your kids and pray for them daily. Love your moms and pray for them daily. Never get defeated. Realize that God is in control and that He promises to be with us as we go through life. If times are hard, just remember God is there. If times are good, just remember that God is there. God is there for you. He's there to be your help. Men, I encourage you to let your wives know, let your moms know if you still can, how much you love them, how much you're praying for them, how much you are thankful to them for what they do. They do things that we are not equipped to do. They love in ways that we're not equipped to love. And so, guys, let's be appreciative of our wives, our moms, and those other women of influence that have played a huge part in either our life or the life of our children. And no matter how bad it gets, we need to understand, no matter how life serves you, no matter how hard it is, God is bigger. God is bigger than anything in our life that's causing us pain. And God promises you, as He promises me, that He will be there with you all the time. I would like to ask us, we're going to do a little, something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to ask all the moms to stand. I have a prayer that I would like to read to you. And then these are the instructions. Once we're done with the prayer, there's a bunch of little kids that are going to come in with a gift for you. So the only way they're going to know to give you that gift is because you're standing. Okay? Unless it's their mom. Hopefully they'll find them. If you see them, you can motion for them. That's fine, too. But once they come in and once you get your gift, you can sit down. That way they don't get confused and give you three or four and somebody else gets nothing. So once you get your flower, sit down. And then once everybody has gotten a flower, we're going to stand up and finish singing. And then as you leave today, there's going to be someone at both doors giving you these 31 virtues of things that you can be praying for your kids. So with, right now, I would like to pray a blessing over all of you. God, our Creator, we pray for newborn, for new mothers, coming to terms with new responsibilities, for expectant mothers, wondering and waiting, for those who are tired, stressed, and depressed, for those who struggle to balance the task of work and family, for those who are unable to feed their children due to poverty, for those whose children have physical, mental, or emotional disabilities, for those who raise children on their own, and for those who have lost a child, for those who care for the children of others, for those whose children have left home, for those whose desire to be a mother has not been fulfilled. Bless all mothers, that their love may be deep and tender, and that they may lead their children to know and to do what is good, living not for themselves alone, but for God and for others alone.